carries the winning run in game three. Fry, deep drive, left field. Fry's watching. It is a walk-off home run. David Fry lights up the Cleveland night.
Hell yeah, boys.
David Fry continues to put his name in Cleveland's postseason highlight reel. Incredible.
Hell yeah, indeed. The show is back. Nick Wilson on Afternoon Drive and David Fry's game-winning home run call courtesy of Turner Sports and TNT. And last night was not the game that Cleveland wins. You don't win games in Cleveland when your best hitter, Stephen Kwan, goes 0 for 4. You don't win those games when Emmanuel Clase gives away the game-tying home run and the game-winning home run, albeit to two of the best home run hitters of the last 20 years in Gio Stanton and Aaron Judge. You don't win games in Cleveland when you're against the New York Yankees in a game where your back is against the wall and you got one out. One out between your ass and a 3-0 deficit to start a series. You don't win the games in Cleveland where you went 3-15 with runners in scoring position and you had 11 men left on base last night. And yet, last night, Pedro Avila, Johnkensy Noel, Matthew Boyd, and David Fry etched their names in history, in Cleveland baseball history, in the hearts and minds of every Cleveland Guardians fans. That is how you do playoff baseball. I don't know I've ever been happier for this town. I don't know I've ever been more proud of this team. And we got a long ways to go. Hopefully, we got, carry the two, 7 more wins in it. I don't know if I'm going to make it through 7 more games like that. Even if they're wins, I don't know that I'm going to make it. But I can tell you that last night was all that is great about being a sports fan, all that is great about this town. And to people that say Cleveland isn't a baseball town, listen back to that clip of David Fry spanking a 2-run home run to win the damn game to stave off that 3-0 deficit, and you can kiss all of my ass if you still think it. I've seen the Pete Merrick tweet where Pete Merrick was just outside the stadium and you hear the swing of the bat, you hear the connection, and then the fans lose their mind. It is a good day to be a Cleveland Guardians fan, a Cleveland baseball fan. It is an F-off Friday. It is a football Friday. And we'll have a little smattering of football because the football doesn't matter as much today. We're going to have a lot of F-ing off because that's just Nick Wilson and how I like to get down. But today is about the Guardians. And today is about whether you can turn last night in one of the most fun moments I've ever had, screaming my head off, so that if you couldn't hear the people at Progressive Field, you could sure hear my fat ass in Wadsworth, Ohio, just calling out every single name: Pedro Avila, Johnkensy Noel, Matthew Boyd, and David Fry. We got Macaroni Baloney on the board, Mac Robinson. We got Jax Gregory, Sweet Young Thang, behind the glass there, and Katie Pollock on the 2020s. And across from me today, a man who was at the game last night, former Cleveland pitcher Jason Stanford. What's up, buddy?
Good afternoon. Happy Friday it is.
It really is.
Oh, it's, man.
And the fact that that came right around midnight was, in fact, we should have known. When David Fry steps up to the plate, it was too cute to have David Fry save the day heading into Friday, as you've said.
This last night was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Great game. Great atmosphere, you know, in the city of Cleveland. And the fans, they could not have been more pumped last night walking out. My son was at the game with me. 10 years old, he's getting high fives from men across the way because he's going, Yankees suck, Yankees suck. And I'm like, holy cow. It's like, dude, you're 10 years old and you already know, right?
Yeah. Well, not just that. Thank you for letting him say it.
Right?
Right? Because there comes a time in every dad's life where your kid's going to use that specific word at a sporting event, and you go two ways. And if you hammer them for it, you might lose a sports fan for their life. If you encourage it, you might gain one. I had that same situation with my kiddos as well.
The way I look at it, he has been in the clubhouse before. He knows what goes on in the clubhouse. He understands everything that is said inside the clubhouse, and he normally keeps it in the clubhouse. Last night was a different situation for us.
I know there's so many ins and outs of not just last night's game, but obviously tonight's game as well. And you're only as good as your last game, so this one has a statute of limitations. It's the one downside of going 3 straight games in Cleveland here and 3 straight nights. What I can tell you is when you think about everything that stands for this Guardians team. I mean, Stephen Vogt has said it a lot, and honestly, we do this to a cliche point in baseball. The, well, we're never out thing. For that game, and really, like David Fry, that home run was fantastic. The second gigantic home run, the third gigantic play in about four games for David Fry. We got nothing but love for David Fry. But to have a rookie who has been cold as the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean, to have a rookie in Junkensie Noel, who didn't know he was a rookie, just to have him step up and pepper that baseball. And I mean, he didn't, like, I've said this for all season. That dude doesn't kind of hit home runs.
No.
He only whole asses home runs, and that was just another case of it.
The swing, and I'm telling my son last night, we're sitting in the stands, we're over in the bleachers, and I'm telling my son, I go, when Christmas comes early for the guards, you're going to love life. And sure enough, he comes in, he pinch hits, and this was before he was even coming in to pinch hit. I'm just talking, you know, I'm like, he's on the bench. Christmas might come early tonight for you, kiddo, but we never know. On top of that, though, I go back in the reference, Major League, the movie Major League, and he goes, no soup for you, you know, and he looks and he's got, yo, no marbles, no marbles, you know, and he's looking in the dugout after Serrano hits that absolute moonshot against none other than the Yankees.
I gotta say, man, I lived and died 75 times yesterday, and I didn't see the Junkensie home run in real time.
Man,
I didn't, because after Hosey got out at first base in the ninth, I said, I can't watch. Because here's the thing. It doesn't matter that this is true for every team out there. We know who the Yankees are. Yes. We know what they stand for. And listen, I do have actually love and respect for their fans. I don't think it's bad. If I won 27 titles, I'd be entitled to. And like if it felt like every time that my team had a chance to win a championship, they did, I'd feel that way too. So, like, I actually got love for how much they love their team, even if I think sometimes they're little spoiled little babies. So, like, it's not even about Yankees fans. It's about that team and what it symbolizes. And it doesn't matter that it symbolizes that for every other, you know, 13 other teams in the AL. In that moment, I said it, you don't win those games. And so the fact that you did, man, I don't know about sports. I don't know that that leads to you winning the series. I don't know that it leads to them imploding. But I know that is the kind of thing in sports that we see all the time. That is the moment, the nexus point where you go, the moment the Guardians went on that championship tear was the Junkensie home run into the David Fry thing. The moment that the Yankees really started to fall apart is when the heart and payroll of Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, when they fell on their ass despite hitting, you know, a game-tying and game-winning home run. That is what that felt like last night. And it'll feel like that, especially if you can get that win tonight as well. 216-474. No, I mean, it just felt so... I just can't describe enough. But I'll be honest with you. So I wanted to go back to this. I turned off the game when Hosey got out because I just couldn't do it. I couldn't watch them have another thing, right? And specific to this team... Like, I just kept replaying those first two games and every opportunity you had to take that game, and you just kept shooting yourself in the foot. And in this game, you did everything right. I mean, Matthew Boyd, gives you five strong innings. And then, you march the bullpen right out there in successive row. Even Gattis, those first two at-bats. I mean, Gatson, the first guy that's up at the plate. And then you go to a Class A. And I know there's a conversation about how you use Class A, how you've used him, how you go forward. It's set up for a Guardians win. And the fact that it was Class A that they got to, that's the kind of gut punch you just don't come back from. And so to see them come back from it in the way that they did, that it wasn't Hosey, that it wasn't Naylor, that it wasn't Kwan, that on a night where your best from your best wasn't good enough, to have somebody, that's Guardians baseball. No, that is what this team is about.
And it's been like that all season long. I think when we look at, you know, what Voth has been able to put out there day in and day out, it is somebody different. It is somebody new. That's been Guards baseball at its finest. And when I look at this team right now, they go down 2-0. They've struggled. They can't, you know, have the big hit in New York. They come back home. The fan base was electric from pitch number one. Matthew Boyd last night for me, the way that he started out the game, first pitch breaking ball. You know, he's looking at Gleyber Torres saying, you know what, you're not going to beat me. You're not going to ambush me. I've learned from game one and game two what you're capable of doing. I'm going to go strike one, strike two. And then, you know, from my angle perspective, unfortunately, I couldn't see that breaking ball. You and I were talking about off air that was strike three.
Yep.
That possibly could have changed the whole outcome of the first inning. You know, and fortunate enough for, you know, Boyd, he did a very nice job. I'm looking at it too. It's the first starter in this series that's gone five innings. That is huge. That's a huge lift for not only the staff, but also the bullpen guys to know, hey, we do have some starters that can do it. Now, today, different light. Gavin Williams struggled at home mightily all season long. He's a young, you know, inexperienced pitcher when it comes to this type of atmosphere. But I will tell you this, the kid's stuff is electric. He has the stuff to come into this game today and show somebody and light somebody up because of outstanding fastball and good breaking ball.
We are still lit up here, guys. We want to hear from you. We are celebrating what happened last night for the Guardians, what could happen tonight. All show long, we got tons of guests today. We got Harold Reynolds coming up in just about 7 minutes here. Doug Glanville, another former baseball player, former MLB outfielder. He's covering the other series in baseball right now, the NLCS. He joins us at 3. Jason Pinkston is going to join us for about 5 minutes in the 3 o'clock hour. Oh, know this name? Rajai Davis is going to be joining us at 4. The man that hit the Game 7, what would have been the winning home run if not for the Cubs. But Rajai Davis is going to join us at 4. We've got Pete Futek for about 5 minutes at 5, about 4:40 there. But as we get started, we just want to hear where you guys are going into Game 4 tonight. And what was the moment that it became real to you and what last night meant to you as well? We got that, but Harold Reynolds next on 92.3 The Fan. That call courtesy of TNT Sports and Turner Sports.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Christmas comes early for Guardians fans last night. The two outs? I think it was the first game-tying home run with literally one out to go in the game in the ninth inning in postseason history. The big donkey, Jonky Donk, Jonkensie Noel, hits a mammoth home run. He murdered a baseball and people cheered. Nobody did a damn thing for that baseball. They just cheered, and we are celebrating the Guardians win here. Nick Wilson, Jason Stanford, we got plenty to get to on today's show, but Harold Reynolds of MLB Network joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You can follow Harold Reynolds tonight after the Guards game on MLB Network. MLB Tonight.
Harold, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, the first thing I thought about was Rajai Davis against the Cubs in the World Series. Remember that, Homer?
Oh, yes.
Hey, believe it or not, we actually have him coming up at 4 o'clock today.
Is that right? Yeah. That's what I thought about. But what a game last night, man. I'm still waiting for my voice to recover. It was crazy.
Well, I think we're all recovering in one way or another. So from a purely baseball sense, from a team sense here, if you're the Guardians, how do you turn last night's walk-off win into a World Series berth? How do you propel this forward?
Well, you keep doing what they did. You know, they played a great game. The ninth got away the closer, Cassidy got away from him in the eighth, I guess it was. But other than that, they dominated the game. You got to look at all the facets of the game and say, this is what we got to do again today. You know, they were stealing bases. They were going first to third. They were pitching well. I thought Matthew Boyd gave them distance in the beginning of the game. And I really believe this, that if the Guardians can reduce the game and be ahead at five or sixth inning in the fifth or the sixth, then that's going to take them home for a victory. And that was the ingredient last night. That was the formula. They had it done, and then Class A lost it at the end. But man, that's what they got to do again today.
Harold, last night Matthew Boyd started the game out throwing breaking balls and off-speed stuff to Gleyber Torres. Do you think that that mixture tonight with Gavin Williams with the power fastball might come into play better, pitch the guys backwards?
You got to do what you do. I mean, that's Matthew Boyd, right? He didn't all of a sudden say, now I'm going to throw curveballs when I throw 95. You got to throw what you are. And your best stuff just has to take them on. And you know as well as anybody, if you locate your pitches, pitchers are going to have an opportunity to dominate games. And I think that's going to be the key to him. If he tries to be something he's not, he's going to be out of the game quick.
Harold Reynolds on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So in terms of, you know, every time there's a good playoff game or a great playoff game, it immediately turns into a topic of what's the greatest playoff game you've ever seen. And I don't like topics of that because I think everybody has their own opinion of what the greatest playoff game they've ever seen is. So for you, like when I say greatest playoff game you've ever witnessed, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
It was a 9/11 game with the Yankees in Arizona at Yankee Stadium. I mean, you got Tino Martinez homers, and then the Diamondbacks come back and homer, and that game was just nuts. And it was after 9/11, President Bush threw out the first pitch. I mean, it had everything that you can imagine, and then it was back and forth at the end. So that's probably going to always stand out as one that just jumps off the charts to me.
Harold, this series is going to take a change right now because the guards are extremely good at home. They have that big walk-off win last night. They come back. Let's say they win tonight. They win tomorrow night. They go back into New York up 3-2. Does this team match up well? Let's say the Dodgers win. Does this team match up well against the Dodgers?
Right now, nobody's matching up well with the Dodgers the way they're playing the last couple of days. But it flips. I mean, that's playoff baseball. You could have said the same thing about the Phillies last year. And they go back home, and Arizona sweeps them. San Diego was rolling. And then they run into 23 innings without scoring a run. The Dodgers, the whole lineup is just crushing the ball right now. And they're getting pitching. So it's easy to say, you know, nobody's going to match up with them. But I just can't let myself think that way because I've just seen it in baseball too many times where a team should dominate, not be touched, and end up losing. So that's how I see that. I do think tonight's game in Cleveland, the pressure is on the Yankees. That win last night turned the tide. I mean, obviously, they'd be up 3-0 or down 3-0, depending on the side you're looking at. But a 2-1 and the way the Guardians won that game, and they come back today with a chance to really get out of Cleveland with a 3-2 lead, all the pressure's on the Yankees tonight.
So does Booney change the way that he approaches this game, knowing that the pressure should be on the Yankees at this point?
They've been kind of stubborn in what they do. They don't make a whole lot of adjustments. At least it's no major, maybe subtle adjustments. But they have pretty much the system they're going to run. I'm sure Wells will be back catching tonight. You know, so there'll be some tweaks there, but for the most part, what you see is what you get. They're going to rely on Judge, and Stanton's hot right now. Maybe you'll see Stanton behind Judge, but they've been real stubborn in what they do. The Yankees are still the Yankees. They're going to shoot three-pointers, and the Guardians are shooting twos. You just got to be able to pin them down, and that's why the keeping them in the ballpark has been the difference in the series. If you keep them in, you win. If you don't, then you're going to end up losing. I just don't see another repeat performance tonight, sitting there thinking the Guardians are going to out-homer the Yankees and you'll win the game. That's not your formula.
Harold Reynolds on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You guys can watch Harold after tonight's Gardo's game on MLB Network's MLB Tonight. So, Class A, that is the second time in two series where he's gone multi-innings from, you know, Stephen Vogt's vantage point there. That's two times they've gotten bit pretty hard. The Kerry Carpenter home run in game two last night. It is the Judge home run into the go-ahead home run to Gio Stanton. If you're Vogt, does that take that play off the board? If you need that extra out in the eighth inning, are you going elsewhere or do you just keep going back to Class A?
Well, it depends on where you're at. I mean, they've been using a lot of pitching, and they're to get to where they're at. It's easy to say, pull it back, that's it. He's only going to throw to one hitter or two hitters or one inning, and that's that. But I just don't know how the other guys are physically in the pen. And so it comes down to, is he better than what you have down there for two innings, or are you better with two guys going to cover those two innings? And it's hard to argue that he's not the best stuff. Even last night, he's throwing 99. The stuff looks good. He just missed on Judge on a pitch he located. To me, the biggest thing that I'm seeing as an outsider watching the series, and this is how I love to watch series, is see who makes adjustments. You look at how the Yankees are pitching Jose Ramirez. They made adjustment yesterday. They've started busting him inside. In New York, everything was away. And Class A, I'm watching him against Judge. Everything from Aaron Judge has been away, away, away. Eventually, Judge is going to get you. This guy almost won the Triple Crown. So it's time for somebody, throw a ball inside, bust a slider outside. You can't repeat patterns to great hitters. And so I think the Yankees have done a better job with Jose Ramirez than the Guardians have done with Stanton and Judge.
Harold, when you're in that locker room, when that's your teammate, who is one of the reasons you're here, who is, you know, not, I mean, arguably the best closer in baseball, but arguably one of the five best pitchers in baseball this year, and now he's maybe having a little bit of a crisis of confidence. What's your message to him as a teammate about where he is coming off? Again, two just not typical moments from him in the postseason.
I'm telling him, we're not here without you. Your stuff is good. Trust it. And we got to get that same confidence swagger guy back. But we are not in this position without you. And that's all you can do. And hopefully he believes that. And he's got to locate. It's not major adjustments. The home run to Carpenter, he missed his spot by 2 feet. You know, and if you're going to do that to big league hitters, they're going to get you. He not only has great stuff, but he's also been a guy that's pinpoint accurate with his pitching. And if he's not going to be accurate, I don't care who you are, you're not getting big leaguers out. You have to hit your spots. You have to locate.
Harold, if you're managing this game for the guards and you look at Josh Naylor struggling right now, do you sit him down for a game and let him come in as a pinch hitter, or do you just keep riding him?
No, I got to ride him. Sometimes it's just the presence of a guy behind him. Who are you going to put behind Jose that's going to make them think about how they're going to pitch to him? You got to have somebody with that threat. He's a power threat, and you know, at any time he can run into one. And that to me is the difference. I got to have that threat there.
Harold, when Hosey was on MLB Tonight with you, you guys were joking around. You said he loved his chain. He said, if I see you in the World Series, I'll give it to you. If you see him in the World Series, what are you going to do with Hosey's chain?
I'm taking it.
I was wondering, are you going to keep it? You going to smelt it? What are we doing here?
No, I'm wearing that thing. That's nice. I'm telling you. No, it was funny. He's such a great personality. And he's a tremendous, tremendous person and player. And honestly, he's one of the beacons of our sport. And so I hope he's able to get on track. It's great to see the big guys come out and battle back and forth. And you never want to go home when your star player is hitting 100 or 200. You want to go home, if you happen to go home, that he's done his damage. So I believe that if he gets hot and he's able to come up, he's had some situations. He comes up with some big hits. They're gonna continue on in this series and head to the World Series if he comes up with big hits.
So last night it was a rookie who had been cold as hell in John Kensie Noel and just smacks the hell out of that ball. Then it's David Fry. David Fry has now had two big home runs in game-winning situations. He had the suicide squeeze late in that Detroit series as well that put an insurance run on the board that iced the game for the Guardians. And this is a guy that I want to say 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they got in a player to be named later for J.C. Mejia. And now mm-hmm. He is like the backbone and the reason that you have a chance to crack open this series. I'm just curious, like at what point can we just say that dude has the clutch factor? I know that's not an analytically friendly question, though, Harold.
Well, I'm not an ugly friendly person, so that's fine. I don't mind that. There's something about guys that understand the moment. And I did a tape on him last night, and I meant everything I said. When you become an all-star player and you play at an all-star game and you're in a locker room with all the big stars of the game, you change. And when he's coming to the plate in certain circumstances now, he knows he's the guy. And that's why I was so hacked off when they pinch hit for him the other day. Like, why are you pinch hitting for your all-star player? In today's game, the analytic story is the two hitter's your best hitter. When I was playing, it was a three hitter. But now it's the two hitter. So you hit him two, and then you pinch hit for him. You don't pinch hit for your best hitter on your team, or you don't hit him in the most important part of the lineup, as you see it. So to me, he has to play all the time. He gets four ABs. He gets five chances. He gets an opportunity to make a difference in the game. I got to leave him alone.
All right, Harold, I'm saying this as a friend, as somebody who has loved having you on here. You took some flack on MLB Network in June because you were not quite on the Guardians bandwagon yet. I know you like a lot of these guys. I need you to stay off the bandwagon until we get the ring this year, though, okay?
Ouch.
Because every time, and I mean this in the best way. I think you're lighting a fire under their ass by doubting them, and I need you to keep lighting that fire for me until I get that ring this year. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, but you're like two or three interviews behind. I went head-to-head on this, I think, on your show. And I already said I'm on with the Guardians way back in June. So I started turning the tide. The reason I was not early on, Greg Amsinger kept saying they're the best team in baseball. No, they weren't. They were good. They were winning the Central. But I said, I will see, because I just didn't think they would add to the club. If you're going to win a title, you have to add. Nobody is the same team in April and May that they are in September and October. So they added. They added some depth. They got some players. You watched Matthew Boyd come along. We've watched the other Boyd, the Boyd brothers, we'll put it that way. So they became a team. So in your case, I'll say I don't believe, but we'll see what happens with the Guardians. Is that better?
I appreciate that. And you will be. Listen, I'll remember this moment. You will be welcome at the World Series parade when that happens, so long as you keep picking the Dodgers, pick the Yankees. But no, seriously, man, thank you for your time, and enjoy this series and rest that voice.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Harold.
Thank you.
Harold Reynolds there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Again, watch Harold after tonight's Gardos game on MLB Network's MLB Tonight. We talk about Fryman on Friday. David Fry's big moment next on 92.3 The Fan.
Guardians baseball.
Guards.
Nobody plays harder than the
Guards. Nick Wilson, Jason Stanford, back on Afternoon Drive. Is that the first time you ever heard that, Jason?
Yes, it is, and I love it. Let's play it all day, right? Go Guards.
So we have a existential fight on our hands anytime we go to play the Guardians baseball, because the initial Indians baseball is like my childhood. And so I'm not saying that what I've done to it is any good. What I am saying is they haven't updated it, and I have simply done the thing that nobody's been willing to do.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it just shows you how talented you really, really are.
Ooh, or am not. Oh. I think is maybe the better one. We got Doug Glanville coming up in about 20 minutes here, but we are talking Guardians baseball. And may I just gotta say, I made this comparison to you. I know, and because I think I want to say it was in July. I'd made the point when David, I think, had gotten hurt by then, and the numbers were starting to kind of go. I was reminded at the time, I was like, guys, he's not going to be the guy that, he can't be the guy to win you games. And lo and behold, 4 months later, this guy is winning you games. And I know that people, like, you can't tell the story of David Fry's home run last night without first telling the story about John Kensey Noel with two outs. The first time in Major League Baseball history in the playoffs, the game-tying home run with two outs in the ninth inning at home. Like, that's historic. You can't tell it without it. But you cannot tell the story of this postseason run for the Cleveland Guardians without David Fry. He has been Mr. Big Time Play, and to watch it, like, I'm just so happy when that guy comes up in those moments because it does feel like in lieu of Hosey being a little cold or in lieu of Naylor being ice cold, even Kwan was 0 for 4 last night. When your fourth best hitter is the guy that is winning you games, you just feel happy for that player, again, knowing that 3 years ago he was the toss-in in the J.C. Mejia deal.
Yeah, it's exciting times for David Fry, his family, and especially the team. You think about what he presents right now. You know, he comes off the bench last night. He's an all-star. He's still coming off the bench. I mean, when I look at that, I'm like, man, like either it's a really, really smart move that Steven has him on the bench, or it's that's a tough move, and you've got to live with it because you might lose that game. But, man, when you go back and you look at the video replay of what happened and what was transcribed in that stadium, there is no better atmosphere than Cleveland baseball.
So I got to tell you, man, in the fifth inning when Naylor was up with Hosey on second and there were two outs, I had sent out the tweet like, would you pinch hit David Fry for Josh Naylor here? And I was a little irritated that Stephen Vogt didn't. Then, late in the game in the eighth inning, Will Brennan pinch hit it. And I was like, wait. We've got David Fry on the bench, and we're pinch hitting. And as I was getting ready to send the tweet, because there were a couple F-bombs in it, and I very rarely will ever curse in tweets unless it's like a funny thing. No, I was rage-tweeting about Will Brennan, who immediately hit a single right down
Maybe you need to do that tonight, too.
The first base line. But no, I mean, it's so interesting, this push and pull of where Fry is, because I don't know how you keep him out of the lineup. And at the same point, he's also maybe the most valuable weapon possible, because if you needed a hit at any point late in a game, you almost want to have him there. And it's funny, I don't think Vogt has gotten enough credit for this. Vogt, and some of this was you were playing with the lead, but Vogt multiple times could have gone to any one of his pinch hitting options early. And in the ninth inning, you could have been down to Bo Naylor. You could have been down to Schneeman, I guess, started the game in right field. But you could have been down to having no options
right
if you had overplayed that. And that was a game where he was very selective with his bats, and he was very patient with his pitchers. And it bit him a couple times. But it's funny, when Steven has the quick hook and it works or doesn't work, we're very quick to talk about it. He was very patient and judicious. And if he manages that game a little bit, just a skosh different, you're down 3-0 right now.
Right.
Today's show feels, I was probably about 70% Browns, and it feels more like a requiem for the Cleveland Guardians.
Well, and I think if you look at that lineup last night, I actually like the lineup up and down. You know, if you put David Fry back in it, different story. But I like what we were just talking about of having some of the best pinch hitters late in the game. You were able to put your best two pinch hitters at the time last night in the game. Christmas absolutely destroyed that baseball. We talked about it. I mean, the moment it left the barrel, people in Alaska heard it. I mean, that's how scary that home run was. It was an absolute
like
moonshot missile. Right, you know? And then David Fry hitting that pitch on a sinker that did not sink. I mean, it sank right into the middle of his barrel. So the exciting portion of it as a fan is saying, Stephen Vogt, he did everything right last night. And there's some things, you know, pitching-wise, maybe not. Defensively, maybe not. But when it came to the pinch-hitting side of it, he punched the right buttons.
So do you like Fry more in the starting lineup tonight, or do you like him more as a pinch hitter? Because I don't think I've landed on some. Either which way, I'm going to feel like that there's a scenario where the other thing could end up being more important tonight.
So where I'm at on that is tonight, you put him in the starting lineup. You ride his hot hand right now against a rookie, you know, and as good as Gill has been all season long, he's not been that great or as good on the road. So I think for having David Fry in the lineup, riding that hot bat, that's what I'm doing tonight.
I continue to come back to it. One, I think the problem, and this is, you know, what makes the way they're winning so wild is you've got basically four first basemen on the roster right
yes.
now. And John Kensie is playing right field, and he's doing a good enough job because they basically just back him up against right field.
Nothing gets by you.
Yeah, and by the way, that's the right way to play. But I think there's an understanding that, like, David Fry can't play the field.
Right.
John Kensie Noel is really specifically a first baseman, right fielder, DH. Naylor is first base DH. Manzardo's first base DH. So the fact that they have four of 26 spots taken by guys who really are, in the essence of who they are, first basemen.
They're very limited.
And to watch Vogt, like, that's, I don't know that we're giving enough credit to Stephen Vogt, even though you either like the hard scrabble style and the aggressiveness or you don't. I think people realize the kind of mental gymnastics that takes. And so I'm probably one of the few people that if David Fry's not in the lineup, I'm going to be disappointed. If he is in the lineup, I might be disappointed simply because you're going to start doing those same mental gymnastics.
Well, it's a tale of two stories. You look at the Yankees, Aaron Boone has a set lineup day in and day out. He knows who's going to be 1-9. Stephen Vogt doesn't right now. He's platooning everybody and doing a good job. And now with the guards being down 2-1, they've got a chance to tie the series up tonight.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says on social media, on X, of course, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. David Fry has given you three of the biggest moments in recent Cleveland baseball playoff history. Do you put him in the lineup today or do you pinch hit him? Where do you feel more comfortable with him at? We're going to ask that of Doug Glanville, former MLB outfielder, now with ESPN, next on ESPN.